In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again, may your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may live in it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, see the wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The volume 29, August 10th, 1931. My daughter, human nature that lives without my will is ugly, because it had been created by the Supreme Being in order to live united to the divine fiat. Consequently, by living without it, human nature undergoes a change. In this change, the order, the strength, the love, the light, the sanctity, the reasoning itself is moved out of place. All these beautiful qualities are in the creature, because they had been put there by God as within a sanctuary, but they are out of place, all in disorder. And since they are out of place, one is against the other. Passions combat sanctity. Weakness combats strength. Human love combats divine. The creature, the creator, and so on. Human nature without the divine will becomes ugly. It turns upside down and in her disorder goes into war with her creator. It happens as to the soul and the body. They have been created by God in order to have life together. If the body would like to have life separate from the soul, wouldn't the sad fate of undergoing such transformation as to no longer recognize itself for what it really was be its lot? With our divinity creating man, there concurred our infinite wisdom that is craftsman and expert, that possesses the whole science of the art of knowing how to create, and our omni-clairvoyance saw that to make this man would be our honor and worthy work of our creative hands, and our glory and his as well. He had to be formed by a body and a soul, and heavily loaded our will by making it primary life of the soul and of the body, so that what the soul is for the body, our will had to be for the one and for the other. Hence, the creature has been created and has had her beginning, body, soul, and human divine will, all together, which were to have life in common, to live together in greatest harmony. Our will, then, holding the primacy, was to become nourisher and keeper, preserver and dominator of this creature. Whence, if without our divine will, human nature is ugliness, united with ours, it is of a rare and enchanting beauty. In creating her, we place the germ, seed of light in her, and our fiat, more than most tender mother, spreads itself with its wings of light over the seed and caresses it, fills it with joy, kisses it, nourishes it, makes it grow, and communicates to it with its heat and light all the varieties of divine beauties. Thus, human nature receives participation, is under the impetus and continuous influence of a strength, of a sanctity, of a love all divine, and grows beautiful, amiable, and admirable to everyone. Therefore, human nature, as it was created by us, is not ugly, but beautiful. Nor do we know how to make ugly things, but it can render itself ugly by not behaving according to the patterns she was created and the way we wanted her to be. You see, therefore, how necessary it is that creatures do and live in our will, because our will enters in the first act of their creation. Hence, having destroyed it, our will, creatures remain disfigured and without real life. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. You see it, our Lord Jesus in this passage, he explains very well what happened or how the human will became, what happened with the human will, the transformation of the human will once Adam departs from that union in which he was created. And in a very simple language, he explains this, that the human will became ugly, disfigured. And he also explains that this was not the plan. This is not what he had in mind. Because since the beginning, God wanted the two wills in total harmony. Just as the soul gives life to the body, animates the body, the divine will was supposed to animate every single act of the creature. And here we see now the he mentions, now there is a word. St. Paul tells us that it's a spiritual word, that we are at war with ourselves too. He mentions in one of his letters, the very things I want to do, I don't do them. And the things I want to do, I don't do them. And the ones I don't want to do, I then end up doing them. And here our Lord mentions that this combat between the passions, basically the combat between the body and the soul, vice and virtue. He mentions this constant combat in the human nature that arrive after the departure is a consequence of the fall. Since the beginning, our Lord wanted this harmony that the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us, I think is in 376, where the Church tells us about this radiance of grace, this harmony, the inner harmony. This is how the Catechism describes this, that in the beginning, the inner harmony in the human of the human person, this is what he experienced. Adam experienced the inner harmony in himself. So before departing, and this is the teaching of the Church, that before departing from that original state of grace and holiness in which he was created, in that state in which God was able to participate himself, his life, give himself to the creature through this channel by virtue of this union of the two wills, Adam was able to basically experience this harmony within himself, that he didn't experience this combat that later on he experienced. So all of this that we experience is a consequence of the fall, of departing from that state of holiness and grace the original state of justice in which Adam was created. Now, after the fall, as the church also mentions, now there is this rupture, this disharmony, disorder, and our Lord Jesus describes it here as the creature being out of place. And another term that the church uses in the Catechism in 377 is the concupiscence, the term concupiscence, which is the inclination basically to sin, that this pulling us always, this separation of the two wills, as a consequence, we experience inclination to sin. And this remains after baptism. So that's why we need to fight it with the opposite. So our Lord Jesus comes and he finds that human nature so wounded. We can illustrate this passage from the Book of Heaven, or let's try to understand it through the gospel, through the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we know the gospel tells us that there was a wounded man on the road. A Levite went by, passed through, a priest, and then a Samaritan. And he encountered that wounded man. He healed, put oil in the wounds, covered him with his, took part of his cape, placed him in an inn, entrusted this wounded man in an inn to the owner, and he said, "Here, there are 2 coins. And by the way, if you spend more than this, I will repay you." So how do we relate this passage? When our Lord Jesus is telling Luisa Picarreta that by departing from that union, Adam became ugly, and with him all the human natures. But that the human will operating apart from the divine is ugly, is deformed. The creature is out of place, is disfigured, is destroyed. At the end of this passage, the Lord says, creatures remain disfigured and without real life. That wounded man was disfigured. So that wounded man represents the whole human race, represents us. And this is what our Lord Jesus has done. He found us all wounded on the road with no help. He took us in. Through his wounds, we were healed. The fulfillment of the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. Through his wounds, we have been healed. He has restored us our dignity. through baptism now, we have been covered with a garment of light. When we are baptized, the priests receive the garment of light. This is what signifies. This is the significance of the white garment. That garment that we lost through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And remember, they wanted to cover themselves. Now, we see that that in basically is the church. The two coins, one is the sacrament, represents the sacraments, and the other represents the word. So we are to be nourished and heal and nourish through the sacraments, which we are healed through baptism from that original sin, which is the absence of God in the creature. Now the presence of God in the creature, in the soul, is being restored. And with that, the possibility to return back to the, to go back to the point of origin, to be able to operate with the gift of the divine will in us. By virtue of this sacrament, now we are able to approach in time. It gives us access to the Eucharist, which nourishes us. So there are in the church what we call the sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, right? And then the Eucharist. Then we have the sacraments of healing, which is confession, anointing of the sick. But also baptism heals us from original sin. So we could say it's a sacrament of initiation that heals us. It's also a sacrament of healing. Our Lord Jesus mentions that without this gift, without this gift of living in his will or in union with his will, then there is a complete disorder. We are disfigured. And this is exactly what our Lord Jesus is doing in this gospel. It's a representation, it's a parable, but it really, the meaning, now we can see it. Now we can see basically the whole meaning, the message that our Lord Jesus wanted to give. Now we are able to understand it. This is what the Catechism tells us in 66 also, that even though all revelation is complete, it has not been explained. So now through the Book of Heaven, we are able to understand the Gospels too. It's only one gospel, but if we see what our Lord Jesus is doing, we know that he created the sacrament, he instituted the sacrament of matrimony before the fall. It's the only sacrament that is instituted before the fall in the original state of grace and holiness, because this is the sacrament, one of the sacraments, which is the sacrament of service that we call. And what Adam and Eve were doing in that original state of grace and holiness, they were serving God completely with all their faculties, with all their body, mind, and soul. With all, as the church mentions also in the Catechism in 376, with all their dimensions, they were serving God. So When we see in the gospel our Lord Jesus beginning his ministry and he goes to the wedding of Cana. Now he's reestablishing, he's restoring, because remember also in the catechism, the church teaches us that this inner harmony that Adam possessed, also this harmony was extended between Adam and Eve. There was harmony among themselves. They possess the inner harmony, and also they have harmony within themselves, between themselves. I always joke and I tell people that there was not domestic violence in the original state of holiness. Complete harmony. This is the teaching of the Church, 376 Catechism. It mentions more, but for our purpose, we are going to remain in this, the harmony between Adam, the inner harmony that he experienced, and then the harmony between him and Eve. Harmony also between God and the creature. So in there we see the complete harmony in marriage. And after the fall, marriage is disfigured. So what our Lord Jesus comes to do, he comes and he reestablishes, he restores that. And then, if we were disfigured, as our Lord Jesus mentions that, that means that we became spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, spiritually mute, spiritually paralyzed, crippled, wounded. We inherit, we acquire the spiritual leprosy. Spiritually, we were spiritually dead because we lost that presence of God, of the divine will operating in us, which we call original sin, the absence of that in us. So that's why our Lord Jesus now comes and we see all these miracles that he is doing, and we see those at the physical level. We even, after the fall, we became spiritually hungry. So the Lord comes and he has to make us anew. The Catechism says in Pre-74, that in Christ, all creation will be basically anew, and that this state will surpass the glory of the new creation in Christ. So the old creation, we can say, will be surpassed by the new creation in Christ. Our Lord Jesus comes and restores us. He makes us anew. So at the physical level, we see that now he's restoring sight to the blind. He heals the lepers. He even resuscitates people. Talita Kum, Lázaro. He heals many people. But he begins his first miracle, restituting that harmony between, we can say, the harmony between Adam and Eve. Because in himself, that harmony already exists. The inner harmony that Adam possessed, it already existed in our Jesus. So it's being restituted in him. It already exists in the Blessed Mother. So it already exists in her. And now everything becomes anew. He is restoring, 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 restoring. So now after this restoration, he is ready to give it, to give us back the crown, the final element that will make us complete, that will render us again enchanting to God. I will give that enchanting beauty to the soul, that God will be able again to feel the creature and to continue to do what he was doing with Adam and Eve, to continue do what he was doing in the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in our Lord Jesus, to continue to do what he was doing in Luisa Picarreta after she learned how to live in this way, and she was basically catechized, instructed. Luisa Picarreta, we can say, is the first creature that was catechized in the doctrine of the divine will. And to be catechized, the catechism tells us in number four, that is to be instructed, to be educated in the faith. So Luisa Picarreta was instructed, educated, catechized in the science of the divine will. And this is what we're trying to do, to catechize ourselves in the science of the divine will, trying to understand also this catechesis, this science through the church, because there is where that Good Samaritan led that wounded man in that inn. So the church is the inn where all the wounded men that we need to be restored, to be healed and recovered totally. And there we have the inn, which is the church. We have one of the coins that is the sacraments, the other one is the word. So we are now being enriched, nourished, to be able to walk, to be restored, and hopefully one day be discharged, being completely healed, possessing the will of God operating in us. Hopefully when our Lord calls us and we are discharged from that inn, which is the church, then we will be in the possession of that gift that God intended to give to all of us, and then to be really the enchanting beauty that God always wanted for us. So hopefully in that day, It can be said of each one of us. Gratia plena, full of grace. So, by uniting ourselves and learning this science, uniting ourselves to the will of God through the simple acts that we do, by understanding what the divine will is really for us, we are going to go back to that origin of, to that point of origin, to that place. This is one of the passages, the few passages that our Lord refers to the divine will as the mother. In creating her, we place the germ, meaning in creating the creature, the soul, the sea of light in her, in the soul of the creature. In our fiat, more than a most tender mother, spreads itself with its wings of light over this seed of curses. So here we encounter the idea that divine will is a mother, even more than a mother. And also the idea that it wants to expand itself. And this is what happens. That's why the creature is able to become the enchantment of God. God is able to be enchanted with the creature because it's able to give more and more and more and more, always, always filling the creature. God always sharing himself with the creature more and more. This is basically a divine participation from God to the creature. Then the creature acquires that capacity to love God with his own love. To love God with his own love, to praise God basically with his own love, to do everything with the love of God. And in that way, this relationship begins and grows and grows and grows. That's why it is very important for us to understand also these concepts, like the concept of unity that our Lord Jesus gives. Because it will help us understand that once you enter in this realm of operating in the divine will, is able to place you into the eternal, into the infinite, into the life of God. It brings you basically into the life of God. And we know that God lives out of time. Yes, we remain here because we need this body to operate. Remember, the body cannot operate without the soul animating us. But those acts of the soul in the body, they are able to transcend, to arrive to the infinite, to the eternal and forever. Love God and embrace God, and God embracing the creature, and the creature embracing God always as much as the creature is able to do it, but always growing and always also acquiring a new capacity, always to know more about God, to love him more, to restore, to praise, to adore with a new capacity at every moment. So that's why we need to always go back to that famous passage of volume 14. May 27, 1922. Remembering that one act will give us a new capacity. God will deposit a new sun, one more beautiful than the others. That's why the Catechism tells us, and I don't think we have understood this, or the Church has not yet understood this completely, and that's okay because the Church herself, she tells us that yes, this is true, that we haven't, that the Church has not been able to understand the whole revelation, even though it's already complete, that it remains for us to make it explicit, to understand the whole thing. But through this, we are able to understand it because in creation, God created only one sun, and there is one sun over there. And that's enough for the whole earth to produce, to give life. And through the effects of the sun, we have life and nourishment, and not only us, by all the creatures. All kinds of beautiful things that the sun, through its effects, is able to produce with the earth and all of that. But there is only one sun. But our Lord just mentions that in the creatures, he will be able to deposit as many suns as for many acts you do in union with the divine will. So that's why when the Catechism says that man was not only created good, but was also established in friendship with God, with his creator, and in harmony with himself and with creation around him, he says that this harmony in which he was created, it will be surpassed only by the glory of the new creation in Christ. So that's very clear. If we understand that in creation there is only one sun. But what he's able to do in the soul of the creature, it will surpass. It will surpass what is already in creation. To give you the example again, in creation you see one sun only. There is one sun in the whole orbit. How many suns can he put in your soul? Only one? No, as many, and one more beautiful than the others. And then, if you don't believe this, we can verify then through the Book of Heaven again, that famous vision that Luisa Picaretta had of Father Aníbal de Francia, in which Father Aníbal says, I didn't believe all of this really, but now I can believe that those little things that I did, now I see so much light. So is there, that's how the teaching of the Catechism makes sense now through the Book of Heaven. Yes, that creation, the creation of Adam and Eve, now it will be surpassed. That harmony in everything and all the graces and the beauty and the sanctity and everything that God put in the creature, it will be surpassed by the new creation in Christ. And for this, we need faith. And that's why these writings, they have to be understood in the church. We need to know also our faith. We need to be catechized, not only in the science of the divine will, but in order to understand the science of the divine will, we need to understand our faith. After all, this is what our Lord Jesus did with Luisa Picaretta. He formed her first. And you can see all that formation in the first volumes, talking about the virtues, talking about detachment, emptying him herself, telling Elizabeth Carreta, you must do this, you must do that, you must acquire this. So basically he's catechizing her, forming her in the faith. And then through that, she's able to understand now the gift. But that's why it's important for us to understand this. And I think this makes sense if we look at the Book of Heaven in this way, through the Catechism and through the Gospels. We will be able to understand the real meaning of what our Lord has wanted to convey. And now we understand that what he did, it was a preparation for us to receive this gift. That immediately after the fall, he wanted to bring us back again to the place, to the order, the purpose for which we were created. So it is up to us if we want to remain out of order, if we want to remain in that place, or if we will answer his call to go back to the place, to the order for which he created us. So, because all of us, we have that gift that he gave us, which is the human will to exercise, then everybody now, through these writings, is able to answer and to begin this journey, the journey to go back to God, to return to God, and to begin operating in this way. So the next passage is a very short passage. Let's try to cover this one too.
Sorry, I had to unmute. August 30th, 1931. Behold, therefore, my daughter, our paternal goodness in creating man gave him all liberty to be able to come to us as many times as he might want. No limit was placed. On the contrary, to induce him to come to us more often, we promised him that every time he would come, he would have been given the beautiful surprise of a new gift. It would have caused sorrow to our inextinguishable love not to always be giving to our children. Indeed, with anxiety, it awaits for their arrival in order to give them one surprise after another of gifts, one more beautiful than the other. Our love wants to banquet together with the creature, and it is content to prepare the banquet at its expense in order to have the occasion of always giving. August 30th, 1931. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. This is a very short passage that comes from August 30th, 1931 in volume 29. It is only a portion of the whole thing. I will recommend you to go and read the whole portion because in there, the Lord explains to Luisa Picarreta a little bit more about this way in which Adam was operating, and that he left the doors open, basically, so that, as he says, Adam will be able to come back as many times as he wanted. Through or by virtue of possessing this will. In the lessons of the Blessed Virgin Mary, she mentions that since she was conceived, she was able to go back and forth to the paternal needs of God. back and forth. And you may say, how can this be possible? The soul, this is spiritual, spiritually, is able to go back and forth because even though she possesses her humanity, little tiny humanity, because she is preserved from original sin, we can say she has this remembrance of God that in us, that human nature that is being disfigured make us forget and we don't remember. We see this in also in the novena of Christmas. Our Lord Jesus mentions this, that he's in constant union with God the Father. Even since he's in that little tiny humanity in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So for us, we are able to go back and forth as many times as we want by virtue of this union of the two wills. Because now every single act, every single action is a way of communicating us with God and God with the creatures. So every act is a new channel. That's how the Blessed Virgin Mary describes the union of these acts in her lessons of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That every act is a new channel that is open between God and the creatures. And again, the creature is able to receive and God is able to give even more. And he mentions here that he gives a new gift. In volume 14, he says, a new son more beautiful than the other. And here he says, a new gift. More beautiful than the others. Another gift of gifts, one more beautiful than the others. Our love wants to banquet together with the creatures. And it is content to prepare the banquet at its expenses in order to have the occasion of always giving, because God is inexhaustible. God is inexhaustible and he will never be tired of giving. In the Catechism also, in three, we have mentioned this passage before in other lessons, but the Catechism tells us that man is the summit of the Creator's work. Everything that he created, it was a gift, or it is a gift for the creatures. But he also wants, again, what he did outside is also a proof or an example of what he wants to do in the soul. Just as in the other passage, we explained that the old creation will be surpassed by the new creation in Christ, and that our Lord is able to put a son more beautiful than the other, or is able to give us a gift more beautiful than the others with every single act. Now, he's able to do this in the soul. He wants to give, to create, to give to the creature. And the only thing that he's asking the creature is to remain in that will. Adam and Eve, they only have to remain in that union. They possess that union. I also mentioned very often that they didn't have to do their prevenient actual act, because they were in the possession. For us, what he's asking us is to remain, to enter and to remain in that union so that we may grow in his likeness. So he is able to put new sanctity, new love, new beauty, wisdom, everything that he is, so that the creature can be saturated, so we can overflow, so our soul may be able to overflow with that grace, with that gift that he wants to give to us. And then really, his work in us can be complete, so we can really be called the summit of God's work, because right now we are incomplete without this gift. We are disfigured. We can visit other passages also of the Catechism just to try to understand these passages and to understand how it was by the fall. But I think we already understand what our Lord Jesus is telling us. So the main point of these passages, and that we have to use what our Lord Jesus has given us through the church, so we may be able to learn how to combat these tendencies of the human nature and begin our journey towards the possession of the divine will operating in us. So in a way, I think it's very simple. Sometimes we make it a little bit difficult because we want to know a lot of things and how and when and why and all the reasons. But remember, sometimes we also have to let the Holy Spirit operate in us. Not sometimes, always. But sometimes we have to let our reason be directed by our faith a little bit more than usual, so that by reading, our Lord Jesus will give us that grace to be able to understand it. If we take in account that idea that our soul expands, that we acquire a new capacity to receive by every single act, and then we take into consideration that the soul has three powers, which is the will, the intellect, and the memory, then we need to understand if the soul is expanding, that means that our intellect will the capacity of the intellect to understand will expand. So that means that we have to do more acts in the divine will in order to acquire that capacity of understanding, because how can we understand the whole thing? Oh, how we want to understand the whole thing at once when we have not acquired that capacity that is needed. So let's do more acts in the divine will so that that capacity can be developed in us to be able to understand a little more and more and more every time. Just remember that the soul is able to expand, but the soul has three powers. That means that the three powers of the soul, they will have to expand. Our will, by reading more and doing acts in the divine will, the will become less combative. Our intellect will develop a new capacity to understand, and our memory a new capacity to remember. So that's, I will say, the spiritual part that the soul has to go through in order to arrive at the understanding of these passages with a little more clarity. So let us ask our Lord Jesus to give us that grace through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The word that I wanted to use was defensive, that our will become less defensive to the less resistant to the divine will, the more we operate in that. Let's go through the letter of Luisa and see what we have for today.
Letter 41.